Preaching's when you don't have your mic on. 1 John chapter 5.
I always forget I'm preaching until I'm up here. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to end tonight the study of soteriology or Scientology. Miss Angela tried to mess me up one time. She said, that was a good, interesting, or whatever she said. I'm making up some of it, but she said, that was a good lesson on Scientology. And I said, did I say Scientology? I was wondering why I was sick. So anyway, we're going to finish up tonight talking about one of my favorite is eternal security. And it's pretty easy to talk about for me because I've looked at it through the scripture, and the scripture's clear. And I'm going to end up giving you about almost 30 verses tonight, and we're going to spit and get through this. But I want you to look at 1 John chapter 5, and I want you to notice what God says here in the scripture. We'll begin at verse 10. In verse 10, the Bible says, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. In other words, if you don't believe in the Son of God, that he came and he died, then you're calling God a liar, because God did those things for you. In verse 11, he says, and this is the record, here it is, that God hath given to us, by the way, I don't know how else you can get it wrong, but eternal life. He didn't give us partial salvation. He didn't give us, and somebody has said this, I believe this is one of the greatest things, there's no expiration date on your salvation. And hallelujah to that, right? You ever go to the refrigerator? And you go, man, I really want whatever. And it's the one thing that you haven't realized has been in there since 1990. You know? And But all of us have to do the same thing. You just have to open it. Just to see what it really looks like, you know? Anyway, I've seen some nasty things in my life. But some of the nastiest things I've ever seen has been in my own refrigerator. But notice what he says. He's given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. By the way, the life is in his Son. And the Bible tells us that his Son is in us. And us in him. You can't separate those two. Right? And we're going to talk about that. But notice, if you will, the Bible says in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. That word know is found 22 times in the book of 1 John. 22 times. You think that word's important? Yes, it is. He wants you to know some things. Not that. By the way, you ought to know that you're saved. Right? But you ought to know that with that salvation, matter of fact, I'll give you a good instance. Me and Chad picked up, we've been needing a metal chop saw around here. And so we finally found a good deal over here and went to go pick it up. And it's a rigid. And the guy, you know, we kind of asked him some questions. He says, well, if you don't, you know, if anything messes up on it, it has a lifetime warranty on it. We looked at each other and said, huh? This one has a lifetime. He says, sir, it don't matter what happens to it. You put it in a box, send it back to Rigid, they'll send you a brand new one. I said, me and Chad looked at each other and said, because we know how we break things. Even things that, but I was thinking, you know what? My salvation has a lifetime warranty on it. And no, you know, because why? My salvation is not of me. It's of God. But notice what he says, that he may, we'll read the whole verse. Verse 13 again says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have, well, wait a minute, not in ourselves. We have confidence in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Aren't you glad he hears us? And it goes on down. Verse 15 says, and we know that he hears. But we know that we may know that we have eternal life. I think when we think about eternal life or eternal security, we try to separate this word. You cannot separate the word salvation and the words eternal security. It's part of it. When you get salvation, it ain't like you get salvation, then the Lord says, oh, here's part B of that. Right? It's not like health care. You got to have part B, part C to help with, because the first thing wouldn't pay for it, right? But when you get salvation, you get eternal salvation. So I want us to look at, I believe it's five things tonight. Number one, I want us to look at salvation, and understanding salvation will understand the eternal value of it. Number one, salvation is a gift. We've talked about this. Salvation is a gift. And we see in Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to read a bunch of verses just real quick. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Salvation is a gift. At Christmas time, maybe you gather around with your family, and underneath that tree, there's things wrapped up, or things in bags, or whatever it may be. And you, you know, I don't know how you do it, but I know usually my dad would usually, you know, divvy out the gifts and things like that. And we'd sit down and we'd get that gift, and we'd open it up, and, you know, woohoo! Back in those days, if you had sticks to play with, you were happier. Amen. I loved army men. Man, I loved army men. If only we had today, with back then, what we have today. And, you know, just Tonka trucks and stuff like that. But what kind of father would my father be? All right, that's good enough. Right? See, you null and void that gift if you take it back. If I was to go to Brother Fiesler tonight and hand him a $100 bill, we'd see how fast he can run out the door. Woohoo! You know, coming to church every Wednesday night now. No, he does anyway. But, you know, if I gave him a $100 bill and I said, Brother Fieser, because I love you and because I appreciate you, I want to give you this $100 bill. Brother Fieser says, boy, thank you. I don't really need that. Don't deserve that, but thank you very much. And I go, not just kidding. Well, that was never a gift in the first place. And that's what God is saying to us, is that salvation is a gift that He has willingly and given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And God is not no... you can't say the word anymore because it's not politically correct, but you can't take it back. Some of y'all know where I'm going. Right? You have to be careful with things you say nowadays, people. All up in arms about stuff. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. It is a gift that He is willing to give you. We see in Ephesians 2:8, we all know this one, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift. It is the gift of God. The gift of God. Salvation is a gift. Number two, I want you to notice that salvation is eternal. You say, how do you know that? Well, because I'm fixing to give you a whole bunch of verses that say that it is. I don't have any man-made points tonight. I just have a bunch of verses. Is that okay? Because I think that's what wins arguments, is the Word of God. Salvation is eternal. It's a gift. We see that it is a gift. We see that it is eternal. How do we know that? Because John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. We see that there's really three words, or two words and one phrase, that we're going to look at. Everlasting. And we're going to look at eternal. And then the last phrase that we'll look at is never die in this section. Talking about that salvation is eternal. Well, it talks about it being everlasting. Y'all ever ate an everlasting gobstopper? They're not everlasting. That's why my teeth are bad today. I'm bad. I put a mint in my mouth and my teeth just automatically go, we're going to chew that up. I put a sucker in my mouth, my teeth don't even give me a choice. I look down and go, somebody, you know, they come out with a commercial with the little hoot owl, remember the time with the lollipop, you know, thing? Yeah, with the Tootsie Roll Pops, yeah. How many licks does it take to get to the center? You know, nobody knows why, because when we put that in our mouth, boom. You know, we used to put those everlasting gobstopper in our mouth, and you get that outer coat out of there, you could chomp that thing. You know, or as kids, we used to take a hammer and hit them before we put them in our mouth anyway. And that way it'd already be broke up for us, right? But those are not eternal things. Those are not everlasting. I really can't think of anything in this world that's everlasting, except for fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, gnats, and flies. Those may be. But God's salvation is everlasting. John chapter 3 and verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. hath everlasting life. God would not lie to you and say, I'm giving you a gift that is everlasting and take it back. That would make him a liar. See, God's not a liar. Satan's the author of lies and the father of them. And also in John chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Let me read that again. And shall not come into condemnation. You say, well, what if I kill somebody? I hear this question more than often. I probably should have put more of it in here. I've had, I don't know, numerous people down through the years, especially being in the fire department chaplain and things like that. But if somebody commits suicide, do they go to hell? And I always go back to the scripture. Is that if you're saved, you're saved. It don't matter how you leave this world. Now, is it selfish? You better believe it is. Is it sinful? Sure it is. But it doesn't change your salvation status with God. We live in a world where people are very selfish. Now, I think a lot of it is people aren't saved in the first place. That the peace of Jesus Christ is not root with that passeth all understanding is not in their life. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we don't pray enough and ask God to help us enough. We try to muddle through life on our own, and what happens? We get discouraged, and people end up taking their life because of those situations that they have placed themselves into. But if a person is saved, they're saved no matter what. People don't like that kind of... By the way, did y'all hear what one of the missionaries Sunday said? One of the preachers Sunday said, I believe it's Sunday night, that 99% of all religions in the world are works-based. I got to think about that, looking that up myself. I was like, you know what? He is so right. See, we want a work-based salvation. Why? I'm going to blow your mind. Yeah, they want tangible things. But you know what happens on the other side of the aisle? They want you to be in church, and they want you to give money. If I tell you, you got to pay your loved one out of purgatory because it's a works-based thing, guess what? People are going to shell out money. Catholicism is built on money. But not only Catholicism, but other religions also. It's you know, you ought to do this. That's how we train our kids. It's not how salvation works. You know, hey, you go do that, you know, then dad maybe will take you to the park in a little while, right? God's not like that. God is not a God. If you'll serve me today, hey, I'll bless you. Yes, he will. But he's not going to take away your salvation if you don't work for him. All right, if you don't do that, I'm going to take your salvation away. I always said that's why people, the only time kids ever behave is around Christmas time. Because you threaten them. Right? The elf on the shelf, the world invented that to make their kids behave. I think I don't like it. You know, I mean, your kids ought to behave every day of the year, not just around Christmas. We shouldn't just be, back to the scripture. Anyway, here's what the Bible says. John chapter 6 and verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And then there's another word up there that we see, eternal. Not only do we see the word everlasting underneath salvation is eternal, but we see the word eternal in the Bible. John chapter 3 verse 15 says this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Have eternal life. Notice in John chapter 10, you write this one down to you. John chapter 10 verse 28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Nobody's going to take them out of my hand. What you're saying, my friends, it's not something you've done. It's something that God done for you, that Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. You're just accepting what he done, and he is allowing you to be put into his family. Thank God for that. It's eternal. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7 says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, I was raised in the Assembly of God Church. I was raised on a work-based salvation. Growing up, I just thought it was entertaining. I didn't know what in the world they were doing. All I knew is that somebody get up over here and And somebody over here go, this is what they just said. So I figured that out. One day I stood up. I said, well, she just said she's giving me $100. Praise the Lord. I said, no, I didn't really do that, but I thought about it. In my mind, I did. But I was raised that if you do these certain sins, you lose your salvation. You got to come and get saved again. Some of these churches, you see their marquee says, we had 625 saved. That was just six people. You got that? That was just six people that got saved, you know, 100 of times each, right? But that's not salvation. That is me doing the work. But see, I didn't do the work. God did the work. God just allows me to... Listen, salvation is for by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourself. It is a gift of God. God is willingly ready to save you. All you have to do is reach out and get it. My pastor used to be one of the greatest soul winners I've ever met in my life. He could win people to the Lord. And it just like... We come up on a group of guys one night that was out. And he was out there and... He said, let's go. I believe the Lord wants us to witness to these three guys. These guys got around the campfire and they were doing some fishing and we were down by the river. And I never forget, he got out of the church van and he said, guys, I got some good news for you tonight. And he had a mannerism about him that just demanded your presence. He said, I've got a gift for you. And he began to tell them about the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Before long, I saw him. He had $3 bills. And he walked up to this guy. He said, you want this dollar bill? He said, well, yeah, I'll take it. He said, well, this is a gift. He says, you only have to do one thing. And he stuck it out, and the guy said, well, I just got to grab it. And he did the second guy, and he went back, and he told him, he said, that's what God's doing for you right now. He's holding out salvation, and all you got to do is accept it through His Son, Jesus Christ. And he said, and then he let them have the $3. I was like, man, this soul winning thing's going to cost us $3. Hallelujah. And we always went back by the convenience store and got Faygo's. Anybody know what a Faygo is? That's one of the best syrupy drinks you can ever drink in the South. But I remember when he said, could y'all get those dollars back out? He said, give me that. And the guy said, whoa, wait a minute, buddy. My guy, and then he said, exactly, God won't take a gift away from you. And he had done those three to the Lord and told them about eternal salvation in 10 minutes of sitting there. And I'm thinking, you know what? We make things so complicated. If the Scripture says it's eternal, guess what it is? It's eternal. And also, there's many more Scriptures, but in Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 9, it says, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. He is the author of eternal salvation. Then the next phrase we see underneath the same heading is never die. John chapter 11 and verse 26 says is, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? In other words, is that if you are saved, that you shall never die. You say, well, wait a minute. What if I die of a heart attack? You just die here. You live there. You won't even know the difference. You ever thought about that? We try not to think about death, don't we? But I'm morbid. I do. Because I think about, for you guys, I don't know, for two or three of y'all, it may be a sad event. But on the eternal side of it, it's a joyous event. I used to hate the song, I got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. Still don't like some of the wording ain't all right in it. But I got to think about that. The longer I live, the more I do. I think about, I almost have more family up there now than I have down here. But I got my Savior up there. It's eternal. I'll give you number three tonight. Salvation is sealing. That word sealing, or not sealing, seal, like Ziploc. Seal, like a Navy seal. Something like that. I was thinking about a seal, and I began to study that this week and think about when a king would send a letter that they would take hot wax and they would pour it over where the letter folded, and he would take a signet and he would stamp it, and that letter would stay sealed until it got to where it was going. I got excited at my desk. I said, oh, wait a minute. The Bible tells me that I am sealed until the day of redemption. That Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, has sealed my soul until I get to where I'm going. Where am I going? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. When I get to heaven, guess what? That is where I'm headed. That is where the seal will be bursted on this life, and then I'll live for eternity in heaven. It is about this sealing. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnestness of His Spirit, of the Spirit in our hearts." Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." You were sealed until the day of redemption. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. John chapter 10 verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." By the way, it has all the words in this one. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." He says, where are they at? They're in my hand. John chapter 10 verse 29 goes on to explain, "Well, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Listen, you ain't going to get through the Son's hand, but surely you're not going to get through God's hand. Romans chapter 8 and verse 39 says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Why? Because we're sealed until the day of redemption. One of the greatest things they ever invented in life was that Ziploc bag that has a little thing on it. You go, y'all remember back in the old days, you know, yellow and blue make green? I'd be concentrating on that thing, you know. I'd be like, got it. And you go to lay it down and you hear, didn't seal too good. But man, they came out with that little, love those things until they zip on off. You're holding the little thing, you go, ah, right? But listen, you can put things in a mason jar, you can put things in a Ziploc bag, it's still not sealed. We're sealed by the Lord Jesus' hand, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and we're sealed into the Father's hand. We're sealed until the day of redemption. In other words, even if you could get out, you couldn't. Or wanted to get out, you couldn't. But none of us want, there's not one day in my life I ever say, I wish God would take my salvation back. Matter of fact, it hurt me even just say it right there. Jude 1:1 says, there's only one chapter. "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." Preserved. Salvation is eternal. Christ gave His life once for sin. And you give your faith in Him once unto eternal life. We're saved. By the way, if you're born again, in other words, He gave us that in John chapter 3. He told us what born again means. He put that again in there because you're born naturally. Not that you're born spiritually again and again and again, but you're born naturally into the world. Then you're born again spiritually. You're not going back and doing it again. You're born one time. Just like the natural birth is once, so is the spiritual birth is once, and you're done. Salvation, number four, is removing. Salvation is removing. You say, whoa, wait a minute. Well, Micah 7:19 says, "He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sin into the depths of the sea." Psalm 103 verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us." Romans 8:1 says, "There is now no condemnation to them which believe, which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." In other words, here's what's happening. And when you get saved, because eternal salvation, when we talk about eternal salvation or eternal security, when you get saved, God takes away the wrath of God from your life. Do you think that God would go, "Here you go, you can have it back"? Jesus, go get back on the cross again, is what He'd had to do. If God put His wrath back on you again, He would have to put His Son back on the cross again. But listen, when Jesus was on the cross and He was crying out to His Father, all of the wrath of God would rest upon Him and was upon Jesus Christ. And He took it all. He didn't take a thimble of it. He took it all. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, He removes all iniquity and wrath from your heavenly account. Whew. Thank you, Jesus, for that. I'll give you the last thing. I'm done tonight. Salvation is of God. I said this in the beginning. Salvation is of God. There's four verses here I hope that you'll take note of. Number one, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He," we sing the song about this, "He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." He is able. Listen, you're not able. You ever think that you're able? I was at the gym the other day and felt like I was able. Not Cain or Abel, but I felt like I was able. And I looked at that weight and I was like, I got this. I've been working out now 3 weeks. Basically, a bodybuilder. For Chef Boyardee. And I walked over there, and you try to pick up something, you go, well, I'm not able. But thank God my trainer was able to get it off of my chest because it was stuck. I thought, man, I got this next rep. I mean, I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, you're like, here we go. It ain't going nowhere. It ain't going nowhere.
I'm like, could you please help me?
I am not supposed to be this color, you know. But I wasn't able. Just like I'm not able to do anything unless He allows me to. I certainly can't save myself. He is able. Philippians chapter number 2 verse I want you to know is Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." In other words, He that which hath begun a good work in you. In other words, that work of salvation that has begun in you at the time of salvation, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep that salvation, not you. You're not going to keep nothing. No, don't you love this statement? I promise you. Bunch of liars. I promise you, I'll be there on time. Liar. I promise you, I'll remember that. Liar. That's why I had to put everything in my phone. I was at the parking garage yesterday visiting the hospital. The other day I went to the hospital, whatever day that was. I went to the parking garage and I looked at the thing that said, like, I'm on level P4. P4, P4. Got it. Got done with my visit. Took me 30 minutes to find my vehicle. Because here's what I did not know, that the hospital I was at has 3 parking garages. That P stands for the one that you're in. I didn't know that. I just thought I thought there was only one garage there. I came out a different way and looked. I was like, this don't look like my garage, but it must be it. Walked up around, you know, and I'm doing y'all's thing. You know, I'm going, no, not it. I'm lost. I can't even remember things. Now I have to put it in my phone. Why? Because I'm not able. I can't perform it. The third one I want you to know, verses 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who are kept by the power of God? We're kept by the power of God. It's not us. Salvation is eternal. That's the reason you have eternal salvation, is because it is of God. Salvation is of God. And I'll give you this last one. I think this is a great one. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing, here it is, He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's the one. It's He that holds our salvation in His hand. When David said, "Return unto me the joy of," not my salvation, "return unto me the joy of thy salvation." Lord, this is your salvation. Salvation is of God. Listen tonight, salvation is eternal because it is of God. We can't have a part in it other than putting our faith in Jesus Christ. I can't work. I can't pay for it. Why? Because I never make it. I have trouble, making it to the hospital without getting lost. I have trouble keeping my promises. I have trouble doing things in this human flesh. But listen, God doesn't have problems. God is almighty and He's all holy. He's all righteous and He's altogether God. And He can keep us and He can seal us until the day of salvation. If it's left up to you, sure you can lose it. I lose things all the time. I lose my mind more than anything. I mean, a God in heaven who gave you a gift would not reach down and go, I'm going to take that back. God loves us with an unconditional love. God loves us with a love we can't even comprehend. God loves you so much that He gave His Son so you could have eternal life. Listen tonight, I know I've read a lot of verses, and if you would like to have a copy of any of these lessons, I give them to you after I let my wife go through and fix all my spelling errors so you can actually read what it is. But here's the thing about salvation. I saved the last point for this because salvation, if you say, well, what is salvation? It's of God. God invented it through His Son, Jesus Christ, if you want to say it that way. God authored it through His Son, Jesus Christ. We accept that perfect gift that Christ gave on the cross of Calvary. He died and He rose again on the third day. We accept that He was God, our substitute. And by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, God gives to us eternal salvation. Everlasting life. Ye shall never die. Why is that? Because you're a good person? Because, no. There's none good, no, not one. But it's because there's a holy God in heaven who loves us unconditionally. Listen, just because I do dumb things, my wife doesn't go, that's it. Thank God she don't. That'd be a bad day, right? Brody doesn't come in and do dumb things, or Shelby doesn't come in and do dumb things, and I go, all right, that's it. You're not my child no more. Get out of here. They can still leave, but they're still my child. Listen, you can walk out a door of a church with bitterness and say, I'm never darkening the door of the church again, and you're still a child of God. Now you're going to be miserable, and you're going to get chastised, and you may not walk back in, you may crawl back in, but you're still a child of God. You say, well, I just don't believe that. That's the problem. You don't believe that. But God believes that because His Word has told us. And I know you here tonight believe that. I just want to reiterate to us tonight, we have eternal salvation. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. We'll have a time of invitation. I just want to encourage you as we end this series, if you have anybody that you know that's lost and you want to just come pray for them, let's make that a matter of prayer tonight. Maybe just like to come and call somebody's name out and say, Lord, really have a burden for this person. Maybe it's a family member, a co-worker. Maybe it's whoever it may be. Let's just call their name out to the Lord. Maybe you want to come down the altar. Maybe you want to do it right there at your pew. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Then Brother Lepper's going to lead us in an invitation hymn. Father, we love You and we thank You tonight. And Lord, certainly we thank You for salvation. And Lord, thank You that it is of You and not of me. Lord, I sure make a mess of it. And God, thank You for giving me everlasting life. And God, thank You for Your grace. Even when I mess up, Lord, and Your forgiveness, that You're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, all of our sin has been placed on Your Son at Calvary. And Lord, You have forgiven us through Him and through what He did and that blood that He shed that day. Lord, I know that we all have loved ones and friends and co-workers that, Lord, are lost. And Father, I pray that we, just through this series, Lord, we have gotten a burden. And Lord, maybe some people that we have talked to that don't believe in eternal salvation, Lord, that You help us through these verses that we've been given tonight. Lord, get a greater understanding and be able to share that with others. Father, I pray You bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.